Did I ever tell you guys a story of me and some friends were at a house of one of their family members whose dad had some cool PC games, so we would steal time to play stuff like Quake. But one time we started playing Quake on the hard drive while the CD-ROM drive had a Barney CD in it because they had a young
Ooh.
daughter. And what ended up happening is we're playing Quake with like a Barney soundtrack. It was playing the music. It's hilarious.
That's
Like all these
weird.
like super upbeat childish songs. A B C D E. We're just okay. Wonderful. You were laughing so hard. Welcome to episode 89 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I invented the question mark, and I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I come from the land down under.
My name is Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and I come from the land to the north.
Thank you,
Far
Hunter,
north.
For deciding what song is going to be stuck in my head for the rest of the
Yep.
night.
Bingo, I'm in blunder.
Blunder.
Yep. Vegemite sandwich.
Yeah, you guys are pretty cool. Before I
You're
forget,
welcome.
let me get this out of the way right away. We are not going to have a live stream next week. Because next week
Because of
is...
Jason.
Right, yeah. Because next week is Indie PopCon. It is here. We've been talking about it for months, but it is actually going to happen next week. I'm going to be like... in my vehicle heading down to Indianapolis on Thursday evening. So there's going to be no Thursday evening live stream. It is not going to happen next week. That's the 29th. We will not have it. But we will have it on Friday. Maybe a slightly less accessible time. It's going to be 3:45 to 4:45 p.m. Eastern time. So realistically, probably like 4 to 4:30. Shorter program. We'll figure that out on the fly as we are gifted at doing. But yeah, we're not going to have the normal Thursday evening next week, just so everybody knows. There, it's out there.
Done.
Whew. Done.
That was a tough one. All right, good show,
man.
Guys.
Yeah, man. Man, most
really
important
good
show we've ever had. I'm so glad we got through this together.
Yep. As a team.
Yeah, as a family, really.
As a unit.
Jason is he's like a little stepbrother.
Redheaded.
Yes. What?
We do abuse him, don't we?
Yeah.
Just yeah. So yeah. Milkman's baby, whatever you want to call it.
Nice, Hunter. You're the cousin I don't see very often, but whenever I do, we always end up in some sort of hijinks together.
Yeah, so, I can see that.
That's
good. There's one in every family.
There is.
So, you guys don't seem that excited about Indie PopCon.
Oh, I'm excited.
I don't know.
I'm just a little tired from my day, but yeah, I'm looking forward to actually meeting a few One More Castle people face to face, and then a few of our fans. Like, there's going to be a half dozen people I've known for a couple of years in the online realm. I actually get to shake their hand and be like, "Hey, you're that person."
That's, hey, you.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Hey,
and we're going to have shirts. Okay.
We are.
If you missed it, we tweeted pictures of two of the shirt designs last night. There's going to be three shirts. You can buy official One More Castle shirts at Indie PopCon. That's going to be a real thing that happens.
We're going to be playing video games.
I'll show two of them off right now. Boom.
I apologize for the podcast listeners.
Yep. So there's the the One More Castle logo, and there's the Fighting Cheap Jeeps.
Oh, yeah.
Bam! Oh, good looking shirt. So yeah, it's gonna be a good time. Me and Jason were discussing some of the finer details. We've still got to figure out logistically, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
God.
My favorite part about the shirts is I didn't mess them up when I not uploaded the graphics.
Good job, Jason. Good job.
Congrats.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
But those four buildings that you burned down and that little child that you slapped in the mouth in the process, that...
Those orphans deserved it.
Yeah, I mean, just because the printer refused to accept your dirty Cuban money doesn't mean you have to burn them down, Jason. Arson is kind of like a step too far in that department.
Whoa.
Just a step too far.
Yeah.
I mean, we're okay with it.
Yeah, yeah, we're American. It's a given. We'll shoot things.
Yeah, I mean, we're...
It's a pastime. We kill animals just for fun. You know, we're heartless sadists, really. But
yeah.
But you have a reputation to uphold. You're nice.
Me?
Is he? Yeah. I think it's all a joke.
Me?
It's all a facade.
Me?
Just wait till I get to the States and just start kicking people on the ground.
It's like, hey, there's Jason.
I'm glad we've reached the highbrow humor part of the podcast. Speaking of kicking people in their family jewels, have you guys played any old video games lately?
I did.
Yes.
Wait,
sounds like such an awful lie every time you say it that way.
No, honestly, God, it's like a huge surprise. You know what? Believe it or not. It's
going to be a huge surprise.
Oh, no.
Because I played the vast majority of Mega Man 2.
What? You
hate
Mega Man.
What does the vast majority mean?
I defeated everyone except for Wily's stage.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
Look at you.
Wow. What got up your butt?
A 14-hour commute from the Netherlands to Canada makes you really bored. And when you load up your 3DS and go, you know what? I don't want to play Ocarina of Time and Animal Crossing or Farm or whatever the hell it's called. It kind of sucks. You go, you know what? I'm going to play some Mega Man 2.
The last resort. When all other video game possibilities are exhausted.
Yes, it's Mega Man 2. But I've figured out why I generally don't like platformers. It made me sit down and realize what my problem is.
Oh, am I looking forward to this one? Lay it on us.
I tend to, as you've probably guessed, I tend to gravitate towards games that require some form of strategy. You could argue that even first-person shooters require some strategy. With platformers, it is... Especially these older ones. It is literally just like, I gotta memorize when these platforms disappear.
But isn't that
and then
a strategy?
Jump over them.
There's micro
tactics. I would think it would be, yeah.
There's micro tactical decisions throughout game. Like,
it's not a variable
second.
Strategy, though. It's a, okay, there's this way to do it.
Yeah.
I just gotta figure out the pattern. Okay, I'm over the lava.
I could make up a lengthy defense for Mega Man being super strategical, but I understand what you're saying. I hear you.
Yeah.
So, Jason, did you get really pissed off when, like, the random number generator stuff got thrown in there?
This random number generator stuff?
Yeah, there's RGN in Mega Man 2 where it's not a pattern because it's random.
Oh?
Did you not notice any of that?
Well, the problem with 3DS is, and I will admit this fully, it offers save states.
Ah,
so
gotcha.
If I failed something, instead of like going back to the beginning of that section, I'd just be like, okay, load. I just don't have the patience. You know what? The fact that I played so much of Mega Man 2,
I'm so proud of you.
I think is enough.
Yet mad at you right now.
I'm sorry. But yeah,
no,
what'd you think
no
of the music?
Sorry.
I played it without music the entire time.
How could you play Mega Man 2 without music?
I was on a plane. I didn't want to piss people off.
Put
I
headphones
guess I,
on.
Yeah, it has a headphone port.
Oh, man.
No, I literally played the entire thing without music. No sound
that
effects.
That is
nothing.
Unbelievable.
Just completely in silence.
That is that's like watching a symphony with the sound turned down.
Yeah, man.
Like, that's... Unbelievable.
Mega Man 2. You know what? Here, I'll give you this. I will defeat Wily's stage.
Are you going to turn
the
music
on? Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
I'll do it.
I want proof, man.
I will.
Like, Pixar, it didn't happen. For real.
Do it.
All right. I believe you.
Oh, good luck taking a picture of the music. But other than that,
He's got Vine. He can do Vine.
Do it for the Vine. I just love how that whole conversation is already so Jason-y and so like lamb flavored. And you just took it to
which is delicious, by the way.
You just took it to the whole nother level by playing Mega Man 2 without music. That's about as Jason Lammy as it gets right there.
I completely forgot it even had music. It didn't even cross my mind. It was just like, oh, these people, sound off.
Who says don't wait, like
do
you, that?
Don't
I completely
annoy
forgot that it had music. Wow.
Do you normally play games without the music on?
No, normally I play them with the music.
Okay. Well, I didn't know. Maybe that was like one of his things. I'm trying to find excuses.
No, it's just because I was on a train and then I was on a plane and there are people and they're trying to sleep. They probably don't want to listen to Mega Man.
No, I can guarantee you that that's exactly what they want to hear.
That's what they wanted to do.
That's
they'd
what
wake
they
up
hear
and be like, thank you. You've made this flight worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my jam. Yeah. That's what you do. That's what you do.
Boy. Hunter, how about you?
I played Spawn.
Oh.
For the Super NES.
Which is an
extremely difficult beat-em-up game. Mm-hmm. Based off of the once extremely popular comic book by Todd McFarlane. I like the game mainly because I usually take years in between playing it, so I forget how big the moveset is, like right when you start out, and just discovering all the different moves and stuff that you can pull off by holding down certain button combinations. And, I mean, for the most part, like if you can figure out the patterns, which I guess there's no strategy to that.
Yeah.
The game can be fairly simple, especially like the boss battles and stuff. You just find out that one move that for some reason they don't know how to block against or counterattack against.
You know, that...
Yes?
Yeah, that was an intriguing time in gaming history when 16-bit developers suddenly started realizing the controllers had a lot of buttons. They're like, let's make beat-em-ups, but with huge fighting game-like movesets. Cause there was a Batman game that did that, too.
Oh gosh, Batman Forever.
Yeah,
is
so
the worst
many moves
when it comes to that.
Like, wow.
Yeah. We have to use every button on this controller. You want your Batarang to come out? It's select and up.
Yeah.
Not at the same time.
Exactly.
Not just up, select, then up.
Yeah, and there's a different move for A and Tord than there is for if you press A and then like a quarter second after tap Tord. I mean, it's really funny. Like, there really was a phase they had to go through where they realized that, well, it's not always better to have as many moves as possible.
Yeah, because typically it doesn't make any sense. Like, with Spawn, like, he's got this kind of spinning uppercut move that's kind of neat to look at because of it, the way that his cape's designed and everything. But to pull the move off, you have to hold down R and B. Like, that's how you pull the move off. Like, who's going to remember that at that one crucial moment where it's like, you know what would work out perfect right here is that little spinning uppercut thing. How do I? Oh, and I'm dead.
Well, it turns out this enemy takes about 3.5 seconds to creep towards me and then jump up at me and then hover right here. And you would have to be the most brilliant game designer in history to come up with a dozen different moves where the player legitimately thinks about each of them, wow, that's a useful move in some situations. Because we all know, you gravitate towards one move that you use 98% of the time, you just spam that move, and then a couple others for different enemy types. Nobody actively catalogs at any given time, well, there's 13 different move possibilities here, which one am I going to use? They're all so equally valid. It never worked out that way.
I mean, it's a neat idea, but it gives even more precedence to Street Fighter 2 of how well those moves were created and the timing sequence to pull them off. And like, if it was like a Street Fighter 2 fighter beat 'em up, yeah, dude, I'd be all over that, because that's being able to pull off combos and stuff. Like, nothing, not, at least not that I've played anyway, any kind of beat 'em up that feels like that, unless if it was, you know, like the more modern era, like Fist Puncher for the PC, like that's very combo based. It kind of feels like Street Fighter a little bit when you're playing it, when you're pulling moves off and stuff, but no retro game, I don't think, has that.
Yeah, that actually might be something Street Fighter 2 deserves more credit for. It's having such a well-balanced moveset and kind of ushering that in among the first to do it that well.
I agree.
Good stuff.
What about you, Bailey?
I fired up one of my favorite games of all time for what might actually be my favorite console. I played some Perfect Dark on Nintendo 64.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
I've beaten the game on Agent on the most, the quote unquote, the easy difficulty. All the levels are beaten. And I've beaten some on Secret Agent, the next level up. So I went back to try and beat a few more on Secret Agent. And what I found was it's kind of that same, I talked about this with Time Splitters 2, and of course, you know, same design team and all that, but it was just funny to see how they artificially inflate the level length sometimes. Like, well, yeah, the AI is a little more complex and you get a little bit less ammo per pickup and your health deteriorates a little bit more. But what really sets the difficulty bar up here is we're just going to add one arbitrary mission objective that's going to be kind of vague. You're not going to be sure where to find it or what to do. There'd be like things like, you know, hack into the comms system. And you're on like some vaguely Eastern European ship. And so you're passing bulkheads and panels everywhere. And it's like, I don't know which of these I'm supposed to throw this one device I only have one of onto. And some levels are better at it than others. Some levels you walk into a room and then there's a message. It's like Joanna will say something like, oh, something's close by. I better do this here. You're like, okay, great, thanks. Other levels, like Area 51, I'm just walking around this massive exterior environment. Oh, relatively
aimlessly.
Massive. Yeah, and it's like, oh, there's an electronic-looking thing. So I flick my little bug onto the electronic-looking panel, and it's the wrong one. So it says, you know, mission objective failed, mission abort. And it's like, oh, okay. Right. I'll throw it onto the next random panel I find. Or, oh, I figured out this is a new, like, a pet peeve of mine. I might get Joshua Caleb to write a retro hate column about this. But the need to pick up a key card from an enemy you kill. Because this is what happens to me. Maybe it's my style of play isn't actually very suitable to first-person shooters. Because this is what I do every time. Perfect Dark, Time Splitters 2, GoldenEye, I've done it too. I'm going around killing everybody, dodging shots, you know, being the best FPS player I can. And... like 15, 20 minutes in this level. Like, oh, I'm just having a great time. Just playing, you know, a good old first-person shooter. I get to a door. I try to open it. Hit the button. Key card required. What I don't know until this moment is one of the people I killed had the key card. So what do I do, guys? What do you think I do?
Go back to the beginning.
I retrace every step I ever took. Looking for the stupid key card. And you would think that wouldn't take very long, but no. It's much quicker to kill someone, you know, pop 1 second than it does to find their corpse and spend 10 seconds looking around their body. Like, where is the... So like 45 minutes into level, I can't find the key card. I just end up turning the system off and going to be frustrated somewhere. Off
from Steam. See, stuff like that just doesn't seem like it's very well thought out. Like, it's that one guy who's like, okay, you're in charge of the objectives from levels 1 through 5. This guy's in, you know, and nobody checks their work. Like, it reminds me of a story. Did you guys hear the story about the first God of War game that came out and they made an ultra hardcore difficulty mode?
No, I have not heard the story, but it sounds entertaining.
So, to help elongate the replay value, like, after you beat the game, you know, on every difficulty level, you unlock the hardcore difficulty level where it's like, you know, only the experienced players, blah, blah, blah. But they never tested it.
Oh, no.
And the difficulty is so hard that it's next to impossible, like mathematically impossible to beat because nobody went back and tested it. Because it was like, oh, we'll just add 10 extra hit points here and we'll lose, you know, 10 extra hit points for Kratos here. And now there's not, you know, five, you know, chests to unlock. There's only three. Like, nobody went back and played it. Like, that's what that feels like to me. Where it's like, oh, yeah. Shit, I forgot to put the key card in. Let's give it to this guy.
Yeah, so it's not
just randomly shows up in an area.
Yeah, like, I would love to even, if some listeners could comment on the episode page of onemorecastle.com, like, is it just me? Like, am I a terrible first-person shooter player, or does that happen to anyone else? Because, I mean, even, like, trying, like, to be conscious of, oh, I shot a guy, I better look for a key card, I still miss it half the time.
Oh, yeah.
So...
Well, I think it's two things. Like, I think one bit is, like, how bright do they make? Like, oh, there's something here. Did you get it?
Right.
Something was dropped. Like, in Resident Evil, yeah. It's that annoying blinking. Like, I see it. I see that there's an item over here. Okay.
And, you know, it's my fault if they make a big gesture out of making sure the person seems really official. Like, you have to go through a locked room. He has lines of dialogue. He's wearing, like, military regalia. I shoot him and then I don't take his stuff. Like, that's on me. I get that. But just some random guy in a hallway who just happened to be in charge of the key card. I feel like, I don't know.
But like, it's a game. Like, all right, who's in charge of the key card this time? Well, it's not me. I don't want to play this game.
I'm not even sure how related this is, but I have this game on the Wii. It's a first-person shooter, which I was like, oh, cool. Wii doesn't have that many, but you know, you can aim in real time. It's kind of nice. I like it. But I... I'm playing the game through normal difficulties, so not easy, not hard, just normal. And I am just unlucky, I guess, because I hit a certain checkpoint. And it's one of those first-person shooters where you can hold two guns at a time, and that's it. Like, you switch between the two, that's what you have. I have two weak guns, and the checkpoint my save game is at right now. I spawn, and there's a weak enemy in front of me, and a strong enemy in front of me behind cover. And there's nothing behind me. It's like a hallway. And so, like, I've tried like a couple dozen times just to survive the initial minutes of my... say, I might have to start all over. And that's several levels in the game.
You can do it.
I should keep trying.
Oh, you can.
I mean,
do
same
it.
Thing for Half-Life 2. I'm just at a really hard part.
You're at the prison, aren't you?
The what?
You're at the prison?
I got past the prison.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'll tell you where I'm at, Jason. I'll try and make this brief. You know, those big walker things?
Yes.
Okay, I got outside the building. There was two of them. I actually got past them.
Okay.
But now I'm at a part where I'm, like, in a parking garage, and there's one, like, walking around outside, and I can't go back. But to go forward, I have to expose myself, and I don't have any rockets left.
Whoa.
Yeah, don't flash the walker. That's your first problem. That
okay,
just makes them angry.
So don't flash the walker.
Yeah, just put it away.
Woo!
And we'll let you by.
I'm gonna tweet that because it's an excellent out of context quote. Don't flash the walker. I think that's a good.
I couldn't tell you where I was in that game. I got so bored playing it.
I think it's pretty good. It's a good game. Half-Life 2.
I think I need to play the first one to really get. The second one, you know what I mean?
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm a story-driven guy. Like, I can't continue to play and stay intrigued during a game where the main character that I'm playing as, all the other AI characters are like, oh my gosh, it's you, we gotta get you out of here, oh man, everybody's after you. It's like, why is everybody after me? I have no idea.
That's a good,
like, I know I get the world that I'm in, and I realize that I'm some important being, and, like, I just
you're
can't...
the free man.
Now, see, this is funny to me, because maybe I'm just, like, shallow, but I kind of liked that about Half-Life 2, because I never played the original either, but I was like, oh, I'm important. Oh, all right, sure, I'm in. I just bought into it right away. I was like, cool, I'm the hero. All right. Let's do this. Yeah.
But that should be a given, though, because aren't you basically the hero in every game?
But isn't that kind of the point? I mean,
basically,
you're the one who says you have a problem with not having your heroicness explained to you. It should be a given.
No, I just want to know why everybody is suddenly after me, like, because I didn't do anything wrong. You know, like, I never tried to escape. I just, somebody was like, hey.
Hunter.
Just say, I know who you are. I'm going to get you out of here.
Hunter.
Like, maybe I want to stay here.
Hunter.
I want to stay here.
The nature of evil dictates that even when you do the right thing, sometimes people will still be after you.
Yes.
That's stupid.
Getting downright philosophical on the podcast tonight. That's
stupid.
Well, your ethics are ignorant,
which I'm okay with, because that means I just don't know. I don't have the knowledge of
ethics. I think that's an interesting point. We've brought up like three or four cool little gaming insights. Like, that's probably interesting.
God, we should stop.
I wonder how many developers think through that. Like, huh? How much do we explain to the player about the protagonist? Like, would it be cool to keep it kind of shrouded in mystery? Because, like, you see the amnesia angle play sometimes. Like, oh, you're clearly super important, but you don't remember why. That's always a fun one.
Hey, come on over. Have some fun with Crazy Taxi.
Speaking of ignorant people we never remember, let's go to our listener email discussion question. This one is from superfan and now, congratulations, official One More Castle columnist, Dustin Faber. You can find him on Twitter at 16bitcatholic. And I think he's going to be at Indie PopCon too. I think he's going to be one of those people. So cool.
Oh, really cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I think so. Hello to my favorite show. How are you? I hope your mothers and fathers are doing well. Say hello to them for all of us listeners. I was digging through our storage shed, and I finally found my Game Gear, complete with columns, the second best puzzle game of all time. When I was a kid,
I think it means the first best puzzle game.
When I was a kid, I saw Nintendo release the Super Game Boy, and it was such a cool concept. I always wondered why Sega, who loved releasing new systems and peripherals, the Activator, didn't release their own Super Game Gear, quote unquote. I think it was a huge missed opportunity. What do you think the biggest missed opportunity was when it comes to retro gaming? The 3DO launching with a 3 instead of 6 button controller and high price also comes to mind. Thanks, Dustin Faber at 16-bit Catholic. What do you guys think?
Missed opportunities. I'm going to say, I brought up before, Nintendo should have gotten on that CD thing.
They tried.
I know. They should have done. Not try. Yeah. Do or do not. There is no try.
Okay, Yoda. Fair enough.
No.
No.
Thanks, Yoda.
I like cartridges.
I don't know. The Game Gear thing kind of doesn't make any sense to me either. Like the hardware
the
of the Game
Gear
sucked, minus the extra, like the higher color palette was basically just the Sega Master System for the most part.
Yeah, also, I mean, nobody actually owned a Game Gear, so it wouldn't have worked anyway. Let's be honest. The Game Gear is just like an intellectual concept in gamers' minds. Nobody actually had a physical Game Gear. Nobody actually owned one.
Whoa. I had two.
My friend had one.
I knew kids that had the Atari Lynx, but nobody had the Game Gear. It just sucks so much.
It was a lot of fun.
It was fun when it had batteries that worked in it.
Which lasted about 4 minutes from what I understand.
Guys, look. I'm sorry. I forget the batteries.
Look, it's a scaled down version of a game I love on a much smaller screen. Oh, well, no, it's not. That's not even that. No.
Hold on. Let me get the TV tuner.
You guys. They had AC adapters.
That defeats the point of a portable.
I like AC adapters. I don't like batteries, but come on. The Game Gear? I'm exaggerating my hatred a little bit just to stay in character as a Nintendo fanboy here.
I think I will admit that the majority of the titles released on the Game Gear were very watered down. Not even necessarily ports, but like even the Sonic games, like there was like one or two that were okay. But like 5 of them came out, and like 1 out of 5 are not good odds. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know,
so
when I think about missed opportunities, especially from Sega, you know what I'm surprised they didn't do? When we talk about like battery munchers, I'm surprised that when the Nomad came out, like the 16-bit portable, the Nomad, they should have made a console that played Nomad games. That's what they should have done.
You do know the Nomad played Sega Genesis cartridge, right?
It's a joke. Go with it.
Oh, okay.
You know the best part is?
Awful joke.
I forgot the Nomad existed.
I'm terrible with jokes. It's forgettable, Jason. Yeah. Everyone understands. Literally nobody will hold that against you.
You know what?
Because if they did, you would burn to death.
Yes.
Probably. The biggest missed opportunity was definitely the Neo Geo.
Oh, you know what? I can agree with that. Awesome quality.
I mean, come on.
Super high
$400
price.
Game carts? That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, with that kick-ass joystick?
Yeah. There was such a stigma to the Neo Geo. Like, if you owned that, you were the rich prick kid that nobody liked and everyone was jealous of.
Yeah.
That's just how it is.
Because that was the ultimate dream as a kid. Going to the arcade, like, especially back when like Mortal Kombat was big and Street Fighter was big.
Yeah.
And just waiting for those ports to come to the Super NES and the Genesis. And then you get them and it's like, what is this? This is not what I play in the arcade.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like
the mid-90s. Oh my gosh. Awesome arcade games. Horrible ports. Horrible.
Yeah. But the Neo Geo had such an impressive library of games, even within that 90s time frame, that to not at least, you know, okay, let's bring out the Neo Geo. If you want the absolute perfect arcade experience, this is what you buy. Mm-hmm. Or if you're okay with a watered-down version, you can play this Genesis card or this SNES card. You know, like we didn't get the experience to really experience these games until like the PlayStation 2. And the PlayStation 1, when they started releasing, like, those mega CDs with all the games on them. You know what I mean? Like, the collection. And I think, I mean, that had to have been a huge hit to Neo Geo for that.
I just wonder, and maybe this has happened to some extent. Correct me if I'm wrong. But you had your obvious division between your portable consoles, or maybe not consoles, sorry. It's a misnomer, but you know, you had your Game Boy, your Game Gear, obvious portable. It's its own realm. It's its own category. And you had your home consoles. You plug them into your television. You have a controller. You play a game on your television. Then you had the arcade cabinets, this huge machine that played one game. I'm surprised there weren't more intermediate products. Like I could imagine a small television that had joystick controllers attached and had like 12 games on it at arcade quality for $150. You know, like just something, I don't know. Maybe that's silly, but like a tabletop arcade multi-cabinet that you didn't have to build yourself.
Yeah. I mean, if you wanted to switch it out, it was like $80 a pop to get a new board or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I'm with you.
I would have considered buying a, like if Capcom released one that had Street Fighter and a few other games on it, like that would have been really cool.
Oh, yeah. I would have bought one. Kidding me? I think that just the time was so, like nobody knew what the hell was going on.
True.
You know, like what was going to be popular, what wasn't, you know, like how much money to put into this, how much marketing into that, you know, like it was, well, let's try this. That didn't work. Let's stir the pot. Let's try this. You know, like I don't think anybody really sat down and tried to dissect what was going on because it was, I mean, it was impossible, you know?
I mean, consider what they did try and what they thought had a possibility of taking off. The GameCom?
Yeah.
Wow. The Virtual Boy, like, as much as I want to defend it and some of the games are really fun, like, you really thought that was how people were going to get excited for virtual reality? You can't even call it virtual reality. It's just, I mean, it had less of a color palette than the Game Boy.
Yeah.
What? Mickey? What?
Who knew the Game Boy was going to be big?
That also true. Oh, yeah.
Because realistically, by watching the market, if the Game Boy was popular, then the Game Gear had to be huge because it was in color.
Yeah.
And realistically, like it had a pretty good run, but ultimately it failed.
You would say it was a failed system?
Oh.
This might be relevant for a later discussion.
No.
No. It sold 11 million.
Jason's a failed system.
Whoa. Whoa.
JK. JK.
Yeah, sure.
JL.
LOL.
JL. Jason, what are your thoughts?
JJ, just Jasonin'.
Hmm?
Do you have any thoughts on this topic, Jason?
On the Game Gear? I've never understood handheld consoles, so the 3DS is the first one I owned. And I neglect it.
Apparently not. You played it on...
I played Mega Man. I'll bring it to
you took it with you on vacation.
Yeah.
That's the only time I use it, when I'm away from home. On vacation.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, it is portable,
and that's
Jason.
What it's for.
That's the thing. I've never understood playing a portable device, like a handheld device, in my home, because I've either got my consoles I can play, or my PC I can play, which offer better gameplay, better graphics, etc., etc.
Right.
That supports Hunter's point. Like, I don't think generation coming up now that's gaming, I don't think they realize how insane it was to realize we had the Game Boy before there was any kind of mobile gaming. The term mobile gaming wasn't a term. Yeah. Nintendo didn't know it would be it's for a little, you know, Tiger Electronics, like those games, like that's what we had. That was, there was no, you know, even Snake on your Nokia phone. That was a few years later.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the arguments I always bring up when people don't understand why the Wii was so popular when it was released. And my go-to is always, you realize that the Wii was released before Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, there was no such thing as social games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, all the nothing like that.
Bought. Yeah. I am convinced the Wii exploded because grandparents could now bowl without leaving their home.
There you go. Or tennis. No need. I mean. Yeah.
I love Wii tennis. I'm a big fan of it. I really like it.
Yeah. Oh, that pack-in was great.
Yeah.
Wii Sports?
Yeah, basically Wii Sports is one of the greatest games of all time. And very few other Wii games bothered to use motion controls like it.
That's,
which is kind of sad.
It's like every Nintendo system, though. It's like the Wii U. Wait, no one's using
Is that another joke? Or my misunderstanding?
Me or him?
You.
I was serious. I feel like
Because every Wii game that I've ever played has the wiggle.
Right, but that's a poor implementation, in my opinion.
Yeah, nothing's been designed
like
around it.
What I'm saying is Wii Sports used motion really well. Like, it's perfect. You bowl like you bowl, and then it bowls on screen.
It was built to show off that controller.
In Donkey Kong Country Returns, you play it like a platformer, but then you waggle sometimes. That's stupid. That's dumb.
Yeah.
So,
No, I'm with you. Okay, sorry.
Nope.
I stand corrected. Yeah. I sit corrected. I stretch corrected.
Hunter is a sit-down comedian.
I am also a sit-down dancer.
I
it's nothing but waist up over here, ladies. Oh, that's right.
Good luck with that pickup line.
It's one of those.
That is also getting tweeted. We should probably take a music break.
All right. Music break.
Jason, take a music break.
Music break.
Thank you.
we're back. That was Tumbos of the Grim by Chase Bethea. I hope I'm saying his last name correctly, because that's a cool synthy atmospheric piece, and it's part of an original RPG soundtrack he helped out with. This is an artist we have featured before. We're featuring him again because I like him. Just a heads up, this is a premium track, so it's going to cost you a whopping $1, but we do want to promote it because it's good stuff. So check him out, Chase Bethea. He's on Twitter too, so he does good work. Speaking of good work, it's time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For anyone who doesn't know, or for those with 3-second goldfish memories, the Retro Showdown is kind of the crux of our show, let's be honest. It's the part where the three of us have secretly chosen an old video game. We'll have 1 minute to introduce our choice, usually fitting a theme, and then we'll spend the rest of the episode just arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the listener or viewer, you get to vote for your favorite of the three in a poll on the podcast episode page on onemorecastle.com. So, hopefully, at the very least, one of our arguments will sway you to vote for us, and at most, we will change your life through enlightening, entertaining discussion.
Yep.
Probably not going to happen, but we can always try. Two episodes ago, the theme was a special guest free-for-all because we had Norman Caruso, the gaming historian, with us. Ooh, look at us and our fancy guest list.
Look at us.
Oh. And the winner was Jason.
Yes.
With Unreal Tournament for episode 87.
That's unreal.
Which, yeah.
Wow.
Which Thank snaps you. My winning streak. And you beat a special guest, which is always fun. But he was back. It was his second time. So that's kind of the rule around here. Your first time, you get to win. Second time, all bets are off. Screw you. Go away. So, Norm, you lose. And to be quite frank, Jason beat us pretty soundly. He got more than both of us combined in the votes. So... granted, Earthworm Jim Menace to the Galaxy, I guess, may not have been the most competitive choice, but thanks for those who pity voted for my terrible game.
Yes.
I thought it was amusingly terrible, but I guess it wasn't vote worthy. Yeah. All the same.
Wasn't hipster enough.
No.
Guess not. Just not quite. Not quite. Maybe it was Toe Jam and Earl Menace to the Galaxy. Mm. That would have done it. Tonight's theme is games for failed systems. This should be a fun one. Traditionally, Jason is our timekeeper. Traditionally, I go first. And if we're not breaking tradition, then I actually don't have a scripted intro tonight, but I'm ready to wing it if you're ready to arm it.
All right. You may begin.
Oh, boy. You know, when I think failed consoles, my mind immediately goes to the Sega Dreamcast. So I picked a cool game. It's called Wacky Races. It was made by Infogrames. And if you're not familiar, Wacky Races is a classic Hanna-Barbera era cartoon. And Wacky Racers is a racing game. And it's so cool to see the Dreamcast really utilize its graphical capabilities to make it look like the cartoon. But even if you're not nostalgic for the show, it has pretty slick racing mechanics involved. It's a fun game, and there's a lot of unlockables. I mean, this game had addictive micro-incentives on lock well before mobile gaming ever did. And just to not be confused, it's way different from the platformer games, like the NES version of Wacky Races, despite being from the same canon.
And
this one is...
Are you ready?
Oh, is it my turn? Are we doing this?
Yes. Yes, we're
Let's
doing
do it.
This. All right, you may begin.
Failed consoles come and go, and sometimes even the console may not have lived up to the height. In the case of the Atari Jaguar, it was all about the math. One such title released by Sunrise Games in 1996, Attack of the Mutant Penguins.
Oh, gosh.
Intercepting a TV transmission from Earth, which played a documentary about penguins, the aliens made the mistake of thinking that they were the dominant species. Donning the costumes of penguins, the aliens set off to Earth to conquer it. Upon arriving, they discovered their faults and decided to place human clothes over their penguin suits so that they were not to be detected. Help from otherworldly creatures came to our aid in an effort to stop the aliens' most deadly weapon, the Doom Scale. Its attack of the mutant penguins for the Atari Jaguar. That is a failed console, not the Dreamcast.
No, it's failed.
Oh,
all right.
Hurts so bad.
Doomed an entire company to extinction. Yeah, it did.
Ooh.
No, the Saturn did. We won't get into it.
Oh, well, oh, I'm sorry. Far be it from me to distinguish between. Man, we're already getting at it, and Jason hasn't even introduced. We can just skip Jason tonight, maybe.
I'm all right with that.
I think we even have fuel for the fire, so to speak.
You sons of... I'm going to begin. Here we go. Released for the classic console, the Apple Bandai Pippin.
Oh, my gosh.
This game was perhaps the greatest example of capturing a child's imagination. It's Mr. Potato Head Saves Veggie Valley. After seeing that their baby spuds need water, Mr. Potato Head and his daughter Sweet Potato set out to bring a grumpy storm cloud to Veggie Valley so they can water their spuds. The cloud is revealed to be above a carnival, so they use prizes that they win in playable minigames to help them with their adventure. After helping and trading certain prizes with many vegetables, they use a plane ride to lasso the storm cloud and bring it to Veggie Valley. Once there, however, the storm cloud can only start to rain if he laughs. So Mr. Potato Head and Sweet Potato dress up in silly outfits and make him laugh. The storm cloud starts to rain, and the baby spuds sprout. That's Mr. Potato Head Saves Veggie Valley for the Apple Bandai Pippin.
God, so weird.
Oh, there's a lot to talk about tonight. Wow. Wow.
So can we not talk about your crappy cart ripoff?
Not even a cart ripoff. It's, no. It's a genuine, legit racer with cars. Not even carts, like vehicles, full-fledged. Yeah. It may be in a cartoon style, but that's cool. It's a stylistic choice. It's not.
I've realized why the Dreamcast failed. Mm.
Oh, please enlighten us.
The fact that some developer somewhere decided to go, you know what? Let's take a 30-plus-year-old cartoon that no kid today has probably seen, and let's make a game about it. And let's target these kids.
Yeah, because the biggest demographic for people who own a Dreamcast is 68-year-old cartoon lovers.
Yes.
We have nailed it with this one.
Good job,
All Dreamcast. Three of them will buy this game.
Yes. Those are the three people who bought the Dreamcast.
Heyo. Hey, Jason.
Yeah?
The Dreamcast failed. You want to talk about it some more?
Yeah, I do.
I feel like I would really enjoy discussing it. What would you like Me to too. Say about the failure of the Dreamcast?
Well, as probably one of the, you know, lamest consoles of that generation.
Mm-hmm.
It deserved to fail.
Don't you love how proponents of the Dreamcast like to try and paint this picture that says it was ahead of its time with its features like online interactivity and stuff, when in reality, it's not so much that the Dreamcast was truly ahead of its time, it just implemented those features very poorly and should not have tried them yet.
Yes. Yeah. You know what? Sega probably should have spent its resources, instead of developing an online infrastructure and all that stuff, they should probably just buckle down and made some good games.
Yeah, I mean, even if we take a can't-go-wrong, silver bullet, golden franchise like Sonic the Hedgehog, like their main flagship character, if you were to name, or if I were to name, the top five best or your top five favorite Sonic games, Would you name one that was on the Dreamcast?
Probably not.
No, you would not.
Huh, the Dreamcast. What a waste.
Yeah.
What a waste of money.
The dreams suck.
Well, I guess the showdown's over.
I guess so. Yeah, zip it up, boys. We're done here.
You guys are assholes.
Listen, just because you picked a shitty Dreamcast game.
No, it's definitely shitty, but to kind of help make a point as to why Wacky Races was released on the Dreamcast is because they relaunched the series a year earlier before the game was released. So,
how long did that last?
About as long as the Dreamcast.
Wait, so you're telling me the Dreamcast took a cartoon down with it?
No, it was sold to another distributor, and they haven't done anything with it since. So,
what are the odds that the show ended up canceling before the game was released? I bet that's happened once or twice.
Oh, probably.
I wonder if that was one of them. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
That's funny. Oh man,
I mean,
Wacky Races.
You know,
the premise of Wacky Races is so weird. Anyway, like, every week there's a race with the same racers who are all constantly cheating to try and win. And one of them's going to win the race. And you should care for some reason. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
But the game.
And the Dreamcast
fun.
Was innovative.
The game. Has. Yeah, right. Yeah. The game. That's like saying a piece of poop with corn in it. Is
Whoa,
innovative.
You did it. You broke the poop thing.
There you go. You had to,
crap.
Didn't you? You were the
it
one.
It was me this week, wasn't it?
Literally.
Oh, my gosh.
Your argument here invalid.
No, I wouldn't say that.
So let's talk about Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah, Mr. Potato Head saves Veggie Valley.
Not only is this whole idea so strange for a video game, but it's so damn colorful.
Oh, yeah. It's like they've taken one of those Berenstain Bears books, made it even more colorful, and stuck it in a video game.
It's the weirdest thing.
I'm going to go a step further than Hunter and say that it's the worst game concept ever. And here's why. Jason, can I ask you two questions about this game just to make sure I'm understanding correctly? Number one, was this intended for children to play?
Yes.
Number two, is it true that a central point of the game revolves around trading in your carnival prizes for vegetables?
Yes. Well,
I don't know if you know anything about children, but that is the worst.
No, you're not trading them in for vegetables. You're trading prizes with vegetables.
Elaborate, because I'm...
Well, everyone in the game is a vegetable. So let's say you've won this pen. You would go up to Mr. Tomato and go, "Yo, I'm Mr. Potato, Mr. Tomato. I would like to make a trade." And he'd be like, "All right. Here's your cocaine."
Was that common currency
really
for potatoes and tomatoes back then?
So, but the game does rely on a favorable relationship with vegetables.
Yeah, it's a lot of vegetables.
That's an awful premise for a kid's game. I'm just going to tell you straight up right now. Kids hate vegetables. If I were in the room at the meeting where they're pitching this game concept, I would have been the first to raise my hand and be like, folks, this is not going to work. Just so you know.
I don't know, man. People love Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah,
this game concept is going to end up on some podcast 20 years from now. They're going to rip it apart for being on a failed console to get just that off.
You want to talk about a console that failed? The Apple Van Dyke Pippin.
I have a theory behind this game, though. Hear me out. It's genius.
Oh, I'm waiting. Trust me.
Okay. Yeah.
After your little Dreamcast rant, I really want to hear what you have to say, Jason.
November 13th, 1995.
Oh,
Mr. Potato Head Saves Veggie Valley is released on the Apple Bandai Pippin. November 22nd, 1995. Toy Story, developed by Pixar, an ex-Apple company, is released and heavily features, guess who? Mr. Potato Head. Coincidence? I think not.
So you think they released the game in tandem for Toy Story?
they probably knew, or they would have licensed the game out to Pixar. So they probably thought, okay, we're going to have Mr. Potato Head on a giant screen. All the kids are going to be like, yeah, Mr. Potato Head. Let's make this game about him. Let's get on the market before, just before it comes out.
I think you're giving them way too much credit.
Yeah, seriously, man.
I'm going with it.
This is a reach. Like, even for your theories, that's a reach.
Yeah, man.
So what is this, a point-and-click game? Is that?
Yeah. And, weird. Yeah.
You got to get away from the point-and-click, Jason.
No, man.
I love mouse controls when it's a PC game. Don't get me wrong. Hotline Miami, mouse controls are the only way to play.
Yeah.
But, oh, you want to have this argument again?
It's not an argument. You're just wrong.
It's not. There is no argument.
Wow.
No discussion to be had. But yeah, on an actual... Well, I guess you can't really call the Bandai Pippin a console. It's more like a...
It was basically a computer.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Before, like, I consider the Xbox a computer because, like, it had a motherboard and it had an actual disk hard drive. Like, that's a computer. The Apple Bandai Pippin was designed fairly similar.
Yeah.
Really, that's it.
You
guys.
I have Bandai Pippin fatigue.
It only took that one episode, and then it's a shot from there on out.
It did take the theme of failed consoles to bring it back. We've been digging up some old inside jokes and episode references lately, though. Like, that's... Like, we made a Fightin' Cheap Cheeps shirt. I mean, that reference was from...
Episode 8.
Yeah. Like a year and a half ago, we did that. Yeah. So that's just impressive on our part. I'm going to go ahead and say that.
So it sounds like my amazing puzzle game wins.
No, my game is more fun.
So is Attack of the Mutant Penguins just a ripoff of a previous Atari game, Attack of the Mutant Camels?
That's what I was going to ask, because Jason's already brought this game. Already brought this game. Same game.
It is not.
They swapped out an animal.
Yeah, it's just camels for penguins. One hump to another.
Yeah.
Well, and they've added the Doom Scale, which was a new element that was not in Attack of the Mutant Camels.
Sounds really stupid.
Isn't it just a Lemmings clone?
It's a lot like Lemmings if you were actually in the game to kill the Lemmings.
Which?
Like, that's...
So Lemmings.
Yeah.
Well, no, you're not supposed to kill the Lemmings. You're supposed to...
What? The most fun
How do you guys
game?
Play Lemmings? That's
they
terrible.
They have an acceptable deaths amount threshold.
Yeah, they do.
You don't always have to save every single
The
limit.
Secret is to meet that threshold and still beat the level.
Yeah, like, yeah, why do you think they have such a perfectly satisfying splash animation when one of them splats on the ground after a long fall?
You're
oh,
to feel sorry for them. Sadist?
I have no heart, Hunter.
No.
There is a cold black cavity right here.
I know. And sadly, that's where the Dreamcast lies, in your black cavity.
The Dreamcast lies in my black cavity. I think that's another episode title contender right there.
There you go.
That's wrong.
It's kind of like Lemmings in the sense that you have good penguins and alien mutated penguins. The good penguins are good, in case you didn't catch that. But you also take a very valid role on the playing field in terms of killing the mutated penguins. To stop them from setting off the Doom Scale.
So you're just clubbing penguins?
Yes.
Huh. That's...
Now, okay. Not only can you club penguins with either a baseball bat or a frying pan...
We are talking about this right now. This is happening.
We are. Yeah. You can also collect a creature known as the Gremlin that you can use as currency to open chests and turn on suicide machines for the mutated penguins to run into.
Can I point, this may not be important, but I want to point this out. When your company is called Sunrise Games, you are never going to make a good or popular game. Ever.
I love how it's not even described as a game. It's an interactive multimedia cartridge.
What? Really?
That's on the box art.
I mean... In terms of naming your game...
Weren't all the Dragwire games labeled like that, though?
I don't know.
But I think his point would still stand.
Sorry.
But like,
I disagree.
In terms of the mortal sins of naming your game development company, that's just below calling it software. Like, whenever a console developer would be like, yeah, we're this software, like, then you always knew, oh, it's going to be a crappy game. They can't tell the difference between a computer and a console. It's going to have the worst controls. Never failed.
I don't see Sunrise being that bad of a name for
a game.
I mean,
That's my argument. Oh.
Good argument.
Yeah, thanks. See?
Good argument. That shut me up.
Marketing. So, Jason.
Yeah.
How many different other wordplay examples are there that we can use to make fun of the Dreamcast? Because I just thought of Lamecast.
Oh, come on.
That's a good one.
Let's take turns going back and forth.
Okay.
You go.
Okay. Dreamcast. I got one. The Dreamcast sucks.
I like it. I'm going to go with Dreamass. Your turn again, Jason.
Okay, I got another one. The Dreamcast really sucks.
Oh, that's a good one. I thought of Dumbcast.
Come on.
Dumbcast. That's one.
That's a good
Your
one.
Your turn, Jason.
I've actually got one this time. Okay. The Dreamcast sucks so bad.
You win. I give. I can't think of any more. Those will have to do.
Those will have to do.
Hating on Sega is so fun because it's so easy.
I know.
So easy. Oh, man. I don't even care if I get hate mail after this episode. I don't even care. Bring it on.
So, can I ask a question?
Who, me?
Yes.
Please.
Well, both of you.
Go ahead.
In about 5 years' time, can we hate on Nintendo for making the same mistakes that Sega did when they go out of business?
I already do.
Okay. It's a lot easier when you're the pioneer of failure than seeing so many game companies go before you and you still make the same mistakes. All hail Nintendo.
We will see you in 5 years, I guess.
They're only releasing the 3DS games? Yeah, we'll see in 5 years. Yeah,
I am open to the possibility that they won't be releasing any more hardware, but I'm also open to the possibility that anyone else who does release new hardware in the next generation will fail also. I just think the market is not going to support it anymore, but that's a theory. We'll see.
Who knows?
So, yes? Right. Maybe? If
okay,
it happens?
Good. I'll give you a ring 5 years from now.
Yeah.
2019.
Okay. Yeah. In episode 339, we will return to this discussion.
Yes.
Wow, that's going to be a lot of
this. Remember that episode? Sons of bitches.
Our lives are going to be so different.
No, it won't.
Jason's going to be prime minister.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
I'm going to be a hobo.
What?
I'm on the run from the law.
Oh, I'll probably just be sitting here playing video games and doing a podcast about retro games.
Cool.
By myself.
I'll still tune in.
Yeah, I'll be at public library or something in hushed tones.
Trying to keep warm.
I'll be at our White House alternative.
I will break into buildings just to log into the display laptops that have webcams just to be on this podcast in the evening. Well,
the
no.
hologram laptops?
No. Like Office Depot, they'll still be open at 7:30. Mm-hmm. I'll just walk in and just do it.
Be like, I'm a hobo. I gotta watch a podcast.
I do this podcast about old video games. Go away. Stop trying to pull. Why did you call the police?
Sir, you smell like human feces.
Well, that's because I'm a human.
And for
what
your
kind of
it's
feces
a dog's
would you
poo.
Expect me to smell like? I'll shank you in your face. Gosh, I had a relevant thought like 18 seconds ago, and I cannot remember what it
it's
was.
All right, just remember.
Dang it!
You should buy an Apple Bandai Pippin.
No.
Yes.
No, you shouldn't. You should maybe buy an apple, like the fruit kind, to eat. Like that's a better idea.
Like a Granny Smith apple.
Yep.
I have one every day.
Red Delicious is the most overrated apple species on the planet.
Yeah. Oh, I need to... Where is it? Oh, God. I really want to buy a Pippin.
Oh.
Final arguments! Hunter, why should anyone vote for Attack of the Mutant Camels again?
You should vote for Attack of the Mutant Penguins, because it's a fairly intriguing title that takes its bounds and leaps above many others to create an all-around positive experience in the puzzle gaming genre.
30 seconds.
And you get to hit things with your 30 seconds. Sorry. Penguins.
You'll probably get the vote just for that, honestly. Jason! Why should anyone vote for Mr. Potato Head game?
Well, you should vote for Mr. Potato Head Saves Veggie Valley, because not only is it a great edutainment title for your children, it's also on the Apple Bandai Scotty Pippin, the only console endorsed by an NBA superstar.
I don't know.
You know the best part of that was?
What?
Halfway through saying that, I thought to myself, God, I really hope Scottie Pippen was a basketball player. I'm pretty sure he is.
Wow.
You couldn't remember? Like, why else would you remember? I'm like, oh, was he a hockey player? No, I don't think so.
Did he play football?
You know, the Atari Jaromir Jaguar.
Yes.
Jaromir Jagr, you know, that's the best I can think of right now.
Oh, man, I play that.
Yeah, you know, there's Venus Williams, Saturn Williams, the Sega Saturn. No, that's a bit of a stretch.
Come on, seriously, can we just let this go?
Let's do it. As for my game, Wacky Races, you should vote for it because in my intro, I actually made clear at the very least what genre my game belonged to, unlike these two dip turds who, through our discussion, we had to ascertain, oh, Jason, is this a point and click? Oh, Hunter, is this a Lemmings clone? For the record, I think I'm the only one who actually remembers how the Retro Showdown works. You do have
to explain the game a little bit.
What?
Wait a second. Is Lemmings clone a genre now?
Not an entire genre, but some clue to the viewers and listeners as to how your game actually plays, I think is useful information. I tried to make that clear, or at least a little clear. You guys...
I think you're just wasting your time.
I just like talking. I'm Eric Lamb.
I do like Eric Lamb.
It's a combined...
It's a good name.
...version of you two.
It's a good name.
Jason Hunter is a better name, though. Let's be honest.
Well, that's because Hunter is such a more powerful surname than Lamb.
Well, Lamb means to cut off your limb.
Lamb is too close to lame.
It's like intimately familiar with lame. It's very close.
Whoa.
Pillow talk. Nothing but pillow talk.
Can we wait 1 week for that, guys? 1 week.
What?
What?
For the pillow talk.
Oh. Yeah.
Maybe Indie PopCon?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sleeping in the same bed together? Duh.
No.
No?
Nope.
No?
Okay.
Kind of disappointing.
I mean, are you going to spoon with me?
Obviously.
It's the only way I can get to fall asleep.
You can be my jetpack.
Aw.
Well, we'll hammer out the details later.
Yeah. Reminders for everybody. Indie PopCon is next weekend. May 30th through June 1st, we will be there. One More Cast will have its own booth, have our own live podcast. I know of at least three One More Castle writers that will also be at the event. I don't know what I was trying to say there. We're going to have shirts. Great. Yeah.
Did we do buttons?
Ooh. No, we didn't.
Damn it.
Oh, man. We need buttons.
We need buttons.
Sorry.
That's right. Shirts will have to do.
Yeah.
If shirts won't do, I mean, let's be honest. That's... But yeah, so it's in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's a retro game friendly, geek friendly convention. They have an awesome lineup of guest lists. If you don't believe me on the guest list and how amazing it is, indiepopcon.com. Really cool. Also, just a reminder, our live stream takes place starting around 7:30 p.m. Central on Thursday evenings. Except for next week, because we're not going to be here. So it's going to be Friday instead, middle of the afternoon, 3:45 to 4:45 p.m. Eastern. Probably starting a little late so we can set up. Also, I want to give a shout out to the people who tuned in, left comments. This is me trying to buy time so that I can look up, but for some reason the page is not loading to me, so I can't give shout outs properly. It is starting to take so long, I'm feeling self-conscious about it. Oh, come on, Link. Wow. Okay, yeah, I'll shout you guys out in a second. But, hey, you know what? It was a good episode. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Nintendo_Legend. Jason, do you have any reminders or shout-outs or plugs this week? Any coyote hunting tips for our viewers and listeners?
When hunting coyote, always remember, bring a gun.
It's actually pretty good.
Yeah, that's
an wow. Get that many watches. Yeah. Cool. Okay, cool. Hunter, how about you? Nope. You go ahead, Jason. That was mean. Go ahead, Jason.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb, or you can visit my website at jasonlamb.org or thetestproject.com. Either one goes to the same place.
Oh, cool. Yay. Jasonlamb.org, really?
Yeah. I couldn't get .com or .ca. The bastards.
Nice. I'm Hunter. Any of your plugs, reminders, shout-outs, personal grooming habits you would like to reveal?
You can follow me on Twitter as well, at Eric Hunter. My indie game review blog is at IamEricM.com. Shout-out goes to Atlas Vids. Recently discovered on YouTube not too long ago. Very impressive work. Check them out.
Cool. And in my continuing efforts to butcher half the things I say tonight, I want to return to those shout-outs I wanted to do for our live stream commenters. Thank you so much to everyone who tuned in, even if you didn't leave any comments. But I want to shout-out Valerie Minnick, Emily Lauda, Alex Theralt. Good to see you, man. Rizard Core, thanks for tuning in. Captain Knucklehead, Atlas Viz, apparently. Dustin Faber, thanks for submitting your question as well. If anyone else wants to submit a listener email discussion question, that email address is podcast@wormwoodcastle.com. Also, please vote for your game, the Retro Showdown episode page, when it goes up live on Monday. Jared Waldo, Joshua Tiberius. I just keep finding more and more people that watched tonight. Apparently, Jason Lamb and Eric Hunter were there. Adriana Silva, if you're still there, thanks for watching. But last but not least, dear listeners, viewers, don't forget, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.